what would be the step-by-step process you go through to match a company to a candidate? How do you, as an executive recruiter, bring these two worlds together for a good match on a regular basis?
One of the things we do at the Kidder Group that is what I feel unique. I've worked for two national firms. And instead of just, okay, person sends you a resume, you find the resume, you find somebody who's got a job advertised on the internet somewhere. At the Kidder Group, we do what's called a candidate profile. We tell the people, it's like, look, you have all the skills that you have listed on your one-page resume. We want to know more about you, you as a person. What's this thing that puts the fire in your belly? What would make you get excited to get out of the bed in the morning and do? What's the type of thing that you would like to, at the end of the day, sit at your dinner table with your family and go, I did these things today and I'm proud of them. Or I did these things today and they had an impact either on me, my family, or the community in general. And basically create a short story for that person that we're sending that resume to and their candidate profile to read. Kind of like sometimes on like Amazon or, you know, your Kindle, you see little snippets of a short story. And the whole purpose of that is if that short story makes you want to buy the entire book or the entire series of books, then that's a great cliff note out of it. And we're trying to work on that with our candidates to say, okay, we're going to help you write that short story so that when we email it to the person who is the president or the hiring manager for that company, that after they get done reading your little short story, they're like, wow, I really want to meet this person. I want to hear their story. I want to talk to them more about what they've done and what they can do for our company. So basically trying to get them so that they wind up in front. And in doing that, you get into a dialogue with the candidate. What do you like about your job? What do you don't like about your job? What would you like to do? What type of company? And a lot of things that people just assume that they've had to take or things that they can't do, you start getting into the things that make them get excited, that make them want to do it. And then we then work with them and go, okay, what are the top five companies that you'd like to work for? And they might give you two or three, but they have already written it off and go, well, there's no way I could get an interview with them, or there's no way that I could attain that. And to which point I tell them, I'm like, well, you don't know unless you try. The worst thing that someone's going to tell you is no. And you might be surprised. You don't know what company might be moving to Greenville. You don't know what company might be adding a new division. You don't know what company might have suddenly had an infusion or something happen on their side where they're launching an entire thing that you don't know about. I mean, I have friends of mine in the F3 Nation in my workout group that are part of the Upstate South Carolina Business Alliance. This is the group that basically spends an inordinate amount of time and money recruiting companies to South Carolina. And they are constantly working with 10, 15, sometimes 100 companies to move them from all across the globe or all across the United States to South Carolina in the 10 counties that represent the upstate. From that aspect, I could be sitting there and I could find out I got five companies that are moving to the area, and getting to know a candidate and what's going to put that fire in their belly, I'm like, wow, they should work for this type of company. And they're already interviewing and talking with that company long before it even makes the evening news that that company is coming to move here.
One of the things I picked up in that conversation there was that when you try to match a company to a person and vice versa, you're trying to take the idea of work out of the realm of the fact that it's a place you just show up to from 9 to 5 because you have to get your paycheck and leave. It sounds like you're helping people to understand that work is a place where relationships are built, service mm-hmm. is done, and we need to be there as a team because you're going to spend so many waking hours there. You need to make sure it's a person match, not just a paycheck match.
Correct.
Let's just say someone's listening to this interview and they're looking. They want to position themselves for that pursuit of God's career calling in their lives. What would you recommend that they do to position themselves as a good candidate? What makes a good job candidate in your mind?
A good candidate is, in my mind, somebody that stands out amongst their peers. They have taken assignments or they have sacrificed in order to do something of a greater good for that company or that organization. I have an individual that spent two and a half years in China, you know, as an assignment. And he explained to me that at the time the assignment came up, nobody in the company really wanted to make that switch, to kind of uproot and take their family over there. But he saw it as a way for them to, as a family group, do something together that really brought them closer to each other and kind of sacrificed for his company. He's now on the fast track in his company corporate-wide as far as every time there's a promotion, they know that he's the type of person that they can go to that's going to lead, that is going to take that hit to make them successful. Also, for 99.9% of the people, I ask them all the time when they give me their candidate profile, show me and put in your short story where you have led. We exist in a society where I think leadership is at a all-time low. And that if you can show your company how you can lead from either being a clerk to being a middle manager or a manager, if you're choosing to lead, you're adding something to your company and your worth for somebody on a team. And quite frankly, if you got to take a look at yourself and go, wow, I really haven't chosen to lead. I've kind of chosen to sit back and have somebody tell me what to do. Then I tell that person, okay, if you agree that you haven't done that and that's something you need to do, find out where you can lead, whether it be at work or church, your family, your community. Be a leader. You're going to fail. You're going to stumble. But the whole thing is get back up and continue to lead. The thing of leading isn't always being successful. My gauge on someone leading is how hard you have fallen, how hard you've gotten hit, and then whether or not you can stand back up. The greater the hit, the more you stand up, the greater, as far as I'm concerned, the leader that you are.
There you go. That's good. That's good. All right. So let's just say someone's coming to you, Blake, and they're saying, look, I know I need to be doing something different. I'm just not sure what I'm supposed to be doing yet. And they're just, they can sense it's time for a change, a different direction, but they don't have a clue where to start. What would be your recommended process for someone to identify and pursue their career calling in their lives?
First, I would say, you know, I ask this of a lot of people that come in. It's like, well, what do you love to do? Okay. If they're like, well, I really don't know, or I have no passions, then it's like, all right, talk to your wife, talk to your family. What do you like to do with them? If you don't reach or come to some conclusions there, reach out to your friends, people that you spend time with, people that you enjoy stuff with. They're going to be your best critics. They're going to be the ones that are not going to lie to you, and they're going to tell you, hey, you're really good at this, but you're really horrible at that. Or this is the type of thing that when we do as a group, a community, or as a family, you got 9 spreadsheets, you plan the whole thing out, and we know where we're going to be spending this moment and that moment. Or if you go out with your friends or you do something with your church group that they're like, wow, you know, you're so passionate. You know, do those things with us and you make those things happen. And then from that wheelhouse, start making decisions. Well, what kind of industry does that entail? Or what type of position within that industry could I help out with? I mean, there are people that are planners. There are people that are doers. There are people that are great support personnel. Everybody has their purpose. Find out what it is. And if you can put a team or be on a team where your purpose is applauded and people support you in that, then that's what you should be doing.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Now, obviously, being a recruiter, your business is built upon helping other people mm-hmm. find that perfect match. So tell us how people can get in touch with you.
They would just go to thekittergroup.com, or they could go blake@thekittergroup.com.
So do you have a corporate phone number or cell phone number?
Our local phone number here for the Greenville area is area code 864-414-6744. And then my own cell phone number for my clients and candidates is 704-575-7701.
Awesome. Awesome. One last question for you with the time we have left. Several times during this conversation, you've mentioned F3.
F3 is a workout group that F3 stands for Fitness, Fellowship, and Faith. It is about trying to develop male leadership in local communities at a small scale. They're gentlemen that get up and work out with other males in the local area in little pockets of like 5-10 people at 5:30 in the morning. One of my fencing students had explained to me the concept and the group. He had belonged to it for a couple of years and invited me, and I kind of delayed going for about a year and then finally went and was amazed at the camaraderie. They have the circle of trust in the morning in which other males are sitting there and explaining after the workout challenges that they may be having in their own life, whether it be with work or family, questions of faith. And it's one of those things where it kind of stays in the circle, it's called. And seeing other gentlemen that are kind of pouring your heart out and asking you to pray for them in the struggles that they're having in their life, it's something that you don't see on a daily basis. It's not something sometimes if you're having doubts or you have questions, you might want to not talk with your spouse because they panic because you have questions. It's a way for, you know, a lot of guys to talk to and try to get other inputs as to what is going on or ways that they can solve a problem. And then it's a fun group of guys working out in the morning, the horsing around. And from the aspect of the types of people that are there, I've been amazed in the relationships that I have there, because these are other types of executives. There are people who are leaders in their community, because when they're doing stuff in the morning, they have to do it then, because by 7, 8 o'clock, their world starts spinning out of control and they're being paid to make sure that that world stays in control. So the only time that they can really work on themselves and do those things are early in the morning. And I encourage anybody who would like to learn more about it to jump on f3nation.com. And not to be sexist, women, they have the same thing. It's called FIA, which is Females in Action. One of my fencing instructors who runs the Boiling Springs School, Sarah, she's a very active member in the FIA group in Greenville and is actually trying to launch a chapter up in the Boiling Springs, Spartanburg
area. What's that address for that website?
FIA is, I believe, FIA.com.
Fantastic. F3Nation.com and FIA.com.
Correct.
Thanks a lot, Blake, for your time.
All right. Thank you.
All right, man.